Welcome back to the Coach Paul Show. I am so happy you're with me today. Get to take a little second and celebrate. This coming Tuesday marks the one-year anniversary of the Coach Paul Show. So if you've been with me since the Superpower of Sleep episode, thank you so much. Or if you're just joining this week for the very first time, I really appreciate all the listens and the feedback from, you know, Spotify and Apple, the reviews. If you haven't done so already, I would always love a good Apple or Spotify review, and just a couple of comments would mean the world to me. Thank you so much. That kind of gives me the fuel, fuels my fire for, you know, continuing to do all these episodes. Today's guest was an absolute slam dunk for the show. He is on fire. He's a life coach. He is someone who works with, he's worked with kids as a school counselor, executives, you name it, he's done it. He has a very optimistic view on life, and talking to him for the past hour was really one of the most, I don't know, inspiring things that's happened to me in a while. So I think that you will just sit back, relax, and enjoy the same energy that I got from Tom Bull. Very much appreciate you being here. Glad the stars aligned and we could finally sit down and get to do this.
Yeah, I'm excited. Me too. Very happy about this.
Yeah, you're a coach in a way. I'm a coach of sports. You're a coach of, you know, mentor people, like of leaders. So just kind of, could you define like what you think of or how you think of coaching?
Well, you know, when I'm asked that question, I'm drawn to the analogy of the windshield versus the rearview mirror. So in the coaching world, it's a little bit different. I would say a lot of bit different, to be quite honest with you, from counseling or therapy in this way. The difference is that a lot of, like in those professions, the therapy and counseling, and they have their place to look in the rearview mirror to see, to try to understand what happened and where things derailed or where things kind of, you know, there's a little, some pathology.
Sure.
In the coaching world, and this is how I define coaching, this is less about the rearview mirror and more about the windshield, right? It's about the here and now, kind of doing an inventory of what you have available to you right now. And if you don't have it, how do we find it to move you forward? And I believe there's only two reasons to look in the rearview mirror. One, to draw from the lessons that these experiences have. And two, to see how far you've come, to gain confidence. And so those are the only two reasons to look in the rearview mirror. Everything else is about the here and now and moving forward. And actually, when I educate people about coaching, people who are interested in getting some kind of support and want to know about coaching, when I tell them I'm not about delving too much into the rearview mirror, it is like a relief. Like, really? I don't want to rehash, you know, I don't want to rehash, you know, the old stuff. And the truth is, you know, that's where the mindset comes in, you know, because wherever the head goes, energy flows. And if we're stuck in the rearview mirror, first of all, if you're driving a car and all your attention is in the rearview mirror, guess what's going to happen, right?
Yeah,
we crash. And we
exactly.
When we hear people have these conversations, it's like, yeah, I keep crashing over and over again. And I'm like, where's your head? Where's your focus? Where's your attention? What are you giving power, authority, and focus right now? And that matters. And that matters. So where the head goes, energy flows. And then whatever you pay attention to, expands. So in the coaching process, it's really helping people come to the awareness of where are you giving your attention? What is it you're giving your attention to? And that our reality comes from what we're giving attention to. I mean, when nothing else exists, right? Nothing else exists. And you know this as much as I do, being a coach. Most games are won or lost off the field, right? Whether we believe we can or we can't, we're right.
That's
so
right.
We lose or we win before we even step on the field, on the course, on the court. And so getting our mind in the right place matters. And so
that's so true.
Coaching really helps to kind of get people on track and focused. And I move a lot of people from the head to the heart. So moving from overthinking and logic into intuition and go based on feeling, not allowing your emotions to take over, but to trust your intuition. And that you can step into any place in life where we overthink things and we could talk ourselves right out of any opportunity. So
for sure.
I think coaching really, that's where the focus is. And it really translates into all parts of our life.
Yeah, that was great. I love the metaphors and the rhymes there. That was good and very relatable. I had just a little talk with one of my golfers. I know we were talking golf before we got on. That he was hitting on the range before the match started. And after two shots, he goes, "Coach, I'm going to shoot 90 today." And he usually shoots 75. I said, "You just spoke that into existence." And he ended up shooting like 88. And I had a nice chat with him. And I said, "You know what? Thoughts are things. Like, you just spoke this and you, you know, manifested this, and that's what happened. So we're going to have a different attitude going into state. We got lucky and made it through anyways, but still."
What a great lesson. What a great lesson. Because we could talk. Yeah. He just proved what he's capable of doing. Yay you, right?
Exactly. I tried to. Yeah. So when you were going, I love your kind of car analogy, the windshield and the, you know, looking in the rearview mirror. When people, let's say I have a lot of younger people under my care, they don't necessarily know their windshield just yet. And you said sometimes you have to kind of help guide them to find that. What are some things that you kind of do to help people?
Well, there's an exercise that's really cool that helps them recognize, boy, what I'm giving attention to. I mean, I could explain this to you, and maybe we could do the exercise as well. But if you're driving in a Jeep, right? Mm-hmm. You notice every Jeep that's on the road.
That's right.
Right. You know, like they have this special Jeep wave as they go by, you know? So, so when you're focused on one thing, you see everything as that. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's an example, and I could do this with you. If you were to look in the room that you're in right now, and you're to look around and you look at everything that's red in this room, in your room right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I want you to take a mental inventory. Now you know what's in that room. You've been there many times, right?
That's right.
So I want you to look around the room, right? And so make a mental, close your eyes and make a mental list in your mind of all the red objects that are in your room right now. Okay. And think about it. Are they bright red, dull? Where are they located? So go ahead and do that for yourself and give yourself a list in your mind. So close your eyes and do that.
Sure. Okay.
Think of all the red things.
Now what I've got
At least three. Great. Now keep your eyes closed. Now what I want you to do is I want you to tell me everything in the room that's green.
Mm. That's going to be a little tricky.
So go ahead and open your eyes. It's just a small. So why was it hard for you to retrieve green things?
Yeah, the mind was so focused on like the actual frame of the picture, like this, degree up there in my photo album over here. So it was so focused on those three things. And I was like, I have to get it right. I have to tell them it's red, red, red only.
So what's really cool about that is does that mean that the green things didn't exist?
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
Not in the mind's eye.
Right. So how cool is it that when we're paying attention to one particular thing, everything else is lost in our, even out of our periphery and almost out of our existence. So we know that they're there, but we can't even retrieve them. So focus is recognizing that whatever it is that we give attention to, manifest, it grows, right? So a great example of your student athlete who is like, I'm going to get a 90. You have, it's absolute focus. To think of anything outside of that, we don't wake up in the morning and say, you know what, today I'm going to walk around for the next 24 hours and prove myself wrong. It just doesn't happen, right? So what we do is once we get a mental, we're set mentally, what we do is we go throughout our life that particular day in particular, and start retrieving everything that validates the very thoughts that we have, right? And so if we're focused on the red, we're focused on the red, then guess what? We see all the red, right? Because we're being validated. Now, if we know that, then the shift happens when we say, okay, I'm in the red right now, and now it's time to shift my focus. Now, if I was told you to look at all the green, let's say the green are the positive opportunities, the doors that are open, the people that support you, your gifts and talents, your belief in yourself, your attitudes, and you're focused on the green things, then that becomes your focus and you see all things green. Mm-hmm. Here's what's really powerful about that now. If we're focused on the 90, right, and that negative self-talk, I think you called it ants. I love that analogy, right? That negative
automatic
talk.
Negative.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So if we're focused on the red and we're focused on the 90, we've already made the decision to align everything, our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions to that idea, to that goal, essentially. As you said, you spoke it into existence. But even
That's
if we
right.
think it without speaking it, it becomes part of that series of I think it, I feel it, and now I'm going to act and behave on it. And so if we're and so what's really, really both dangerous and powerful is that if we're focused on the red things in our the negativity, we start feeling the negative feelings. Yes. So if we're thinking negative, we start feeling negative, and then we
Sure.
start living our life in a very negative way. And
That's
if
right.
by that series alone, the quality of our life then comes to fruition, right? So what the
Yeah.
mind sees, the heart feels, the body follows, right? So what we're paying attention to draws emotions, and then we act and respond accordingly. And by the way, we act and respond determines the quality of our everyday life, how we respond to our world. And so if that is true, and do we agree on that? Is that true?
Sure.
Essentially, yes. So then the opposite will be true. So if we're focused on the positive things in our life, the doors that are opening, our gifts, our talents, what we're capable of, then how are we feeling? Right? We're feeling empowered. We're feeling focused. We're feeling like things are possible. And then when we're feeling that, guess how we're acting? Everything begins to align. And
That's
so
right.
what the mind sees, the heart feels, the body follows. And my goodness, that will change. That can happen in an instant, as soon as we shift our attention. And if that young man, if he was to say, all right, and you spent some time with him, he said, okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to start focusing on the 70. Let's focus on the 70. And not just say, I can, but feel the I can, right? See it happening, feel it. Right? What the mind sees, the heart, what the mind sees, the heart feels, right? So you want to focus on the positive things and then feel it. And then once you feel it, then you begin to act accordingly. So that shift is really, really important. And it can happen in an instant through practice. And I'll tell you, it's helped me many times. So it's an easy tool, but it's an easy exercise too. So helping your athletes just like focus on something right now and then close your eyes and then retrieve something else, it's very difficult to do. What the mind sees, the heart feels, and whatever we put our attention to, it manifests, it grows. So
That's right. That's a very optimistic message and something I think everyone needs to hear and to remember because, I mean, there's a few ways that I'd want to approach this, but a lot of kids, the environment that they're in, this is something I've been thinking a lot about lately, is with their cell phones. And I'm sure, I don't know how many younger people that you work with in your profession, but I mean, the kids that I see are. I have to almost pry them out of their hands at certain points. In the schools, when I'm teaching, obviously they're put away, but when they're not in school, the screen time, the rates of anxiety, depression, loneliness, even in this, ever interconnected
Right.
world is higher than ever. So it's just amazing to me, like if they're in this bubble of, social media and FOMO and all of that, like getting them to see the green, so to speak. How do you kind of like shift their attention and focus? Just giving them little like small incremental wins. Like, what's the first little action item do you think?
Well, first of all, I have a an I implement as a consultant. I'm a positive organizational consultant as well. So I work in school districts to shift cultures. And
Okay.
how do I do that? I begin with our young people. So I created a program called the Positive School Environment Team, which is a student-led, adult-guided initiative. So youth are, and I was a school counselor for 17 years. So
Oh, fantastic.
I've been in the school districts, and I've worked in hospitals and child adolescent unit, mental health units. So I've had access to young people, and I have a 17-year-old daughter
Oh, yeah.
who's got a cell phone,
Yeah,
right?
that's right.
So here's the interesting part of that. If I could, back in the day, I would say, remember the was it the MP3 players,
Oh, yeah.
whatever the right? And so if I was to ask you what songs you were playing on your MP3 player and what you had in your earphone, right? What was coming through your earphone? I can tell you your attitude and your view of the world based on your playlist.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. That's true. I never thought of it like that.
Right. So if I'm listening to certain kind of music, the messaging that I'm hearing, it's very similar to what we just talked about. There's messaging that's happening. And so what we're paying attention to in the mind's eye is also creating emotion, and we're living our life. I mean, that's why when we go through breakups, for example, we listen to all the sad music,
Taylor Swift comes out.
right? Right on, dude. I use Taylor Swift all the time. Taylor, you know, like and you know. You know, boys smell like beef and cheese or whatever, I don't know, I'm paraphrasing here, but that's the truth. We listen to breakup music, sad music, or angry music. If we go to parties, we're listening to upbeat, kind of music, right? And if we're angry, we listen to angry music. So why do we do that? And we do that because we're validating our emotions. We're validating ourselves once again, right? So we don't listen when we're sad and went through a breakup. We're not listening to happy music. Why not? Because we're trying to align with our emotions. So how does that connect to cell phone use or screen time? I am not as interested in the amount of screen time that's being done with young people. What I'm most interested in is what is on the screen,
For
right?
sure.
So for me, and I know a lot of people have issue with technology right now, but I believe that technology is an opportunity to expand in so many different ways. It can bring people together. So in the PSET crew that I have, for example, who are also called the peer empowerment leaders, they utilize technology to bring people together. They do things like hashtag Ruth, which is respect, understanding, trust, and honesty. It's about, this is a movement that we have. So the technology can be used as a positive thing. It can also be used as a way of lifting people up. If you're
Absolutely.
watching videos of kittens, and they're rolling around with monkeys, it's like it feels great. But if you're looking at something where you're comparing yourself, or you're looking at something of like, some kids will record fights that happen, and you're watching that over and over again. Or God forbid, you're getting messages from on social media online about the bullying situation, then that's going to generate different emotions. But it's not necessarily the phone. It's what they're watching on the phone. And so how do we change that? I'm a firm believer that you can't remove something without replacing it with something else. And you
That's very
can't
true.
remove, right? And you can't remove something that has such a strong dopamine release and try to replace it with go rake the yard, or go on a hike. I try to take my daughter out on a hike, and she's just nails into the wall. Don't, no. So we have to find something to replace the experience with. And what I'm finding is, what our young people really want? They want to be invested. They want to be what I call voice, vision, value. They want to be seen, they want to be heard, and they want to be appreciated. They want to be part of their community. They want to be part of the solution. So right now, if they're feeling insignificant, they're going to go to a place where they're at least getting a good fix. So how do we replace, right? So how do we replace that experience that they're getting on the phone with a real life experience? So you and I grew up in a very different time. I mean, I didn't come home until the lights went out, right? And then my dad would whistle, and then I'd be like, yeah, that means I have another half hour
Dinner
until he
time.
comes out, right? Until he comes and gets me. But we were outside, we were doing, that was the way. That was the way. And you know what? It's not that way today. And we as adults need to shift too. But we have to find a way. And you know how we find it? We ask them, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? What is it some, if you could replace your phone, what would be one thing that you would definitely replace it with? Ask them. Instead of as adults telling them what we think they need, ask them. Ask them. First seek understanding, then be understood. Right. First,
That's
find
right.
out what it is that they need, and then share possibly what types of ideas and resources. But they're not going to listen to you as an adult. They don't care about what you know until they know you care. Right. So
Exactly.
building on that relationship is so important. So the cell phones are not the issue. Cell phones are not the issue. It's what is going on within them. That's the issue. And what is available to them to replace something that feels just as good as what they're getting from their cell phone.
Yeah, that's good. And the habit loops and all the atomic habits and the power of habit, all these habit books that have kind of exploded onto the scene in the last 5, 10 years, just that replacement of, you know, whatever X activity that you're trying to get rid of has to be replaced with the more healthy activity for sure. That's
correct.
Such a big, if you don't have that, then you're not going to get very far.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I love how they connect habits to new, to the habits you're looking for. You know, like when you brush your teeth, you know, do this thing because you're doing it every day anyway. I love that concept. Yeah.
Like the cue signal reward loop. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you just like a pullback question here. You know, you mentioned you were a school counselor, but how did you kind of transition your life into, you know, where you are now with being a, we'll call it life coach?
What an easy, smooth transition it was, Paul. I mean, honestly, it was such, and I've been doing this for some time. Like, I don't believe that I found coaching. I feel like coaching found me, right?
It
I think that's, we are what I've been designed, as you've been designed to do what you do. And if you don't feel comfortable doing what you're doing, then you're doing something you weren't designed for, right?
That's right.
So I feel like it was such an easy transition from the counseling work, because I not only was I doing, you know, I did school counseling, but I counseled adults as well. And I counseled families. I was part of, you know, designing systems within the schools. So my transition from going from schools to businesses to working with leadership, it's what I had been doing all along. And you can translate and transfer anything that was going on there into the bigger picture. All it is, Paul, here's the secret. It is the change in the language. That's all it is. It's a change in language. Like, businesses are like families, right? Businesses are like families. And I've shared that the board is like the grandparents, you know, the CEO is like the mom. You know, then you have your mid-management that's like the older siblings, and how people respond in systems. It's pretty fascinating when you look at it in a business sense. And it's what I had been working with for 20 plus years. So the life coaching was just something I think I've always done. And so I went and got my certification, and then the rest is history.
Wow. Yeah. You seem like a natural. This was calling for you, like the I've mentioned a few times, the Alchemist book. Like, you have definitely
my favorite
found this
book,
call.
Brother. My
is it really?
Book. I love it.
Oh man,
I
that's
love
beautiful.
It. Yeah,
I have to hit on something that's like, you know, a few of the bullet points from your website, which I'll obviously link in the show notes, that you're so passionate about, is like fitness and nutrition for peak performance. That kind of really aligns well with the show and the audience. So I just want to ask you, like, how do fitness and nutrition kind of contribute to your overall well-being or success? Like, is that something in the base level of your pyramid? Like, if you don't have some kind of healthy fitness or nutrition habits, then the rest kind of piddles away. Is that?
Yeah. Well,
you
Paul, if
it?
you're not healthy, everything else is falling apart. It's the mind body connection, right?
That's
if you don't feel good, you can't think well, right? And you can think yourself into sickness. So there is a complete connection to the mind, body, and even the spirit, at the spirit level. So it's essential. People get out in nature. It's such an important piece of movement. You know, they call it emotion, right? Energy in motion. You have to move things through, and it's important to have that. And I was an athlete all the way up through college, played baseball, played football. You know, it was a big part of my everyday. And I know that when I'm not moving, if I'm not moving my energy, and it gets confined and constricted, then the way I think changes, right? How I see the world changes, my attitude changes, my energy levels down. I don't feel connected. I don't feel myself. And whatever you want to believe, there's an energy source all around us, and we can bring it down or we can elevate it. And that starts with what's going on within. There is such a therapeutic, cathartic experience when we move. And I know it's like one of those things, like, I don't want to move today. I want to stay in bed. I want to eat Haagen-Dazs or whatever. My friend's favorite is Ben and Jerry's up here, up north. That's Ben and Jerry's. So I want to do that. But on the other side of that, it is on the other side. There's so many other sides. On the other side of getting up and moving is a new mindset, a new view, another a new your energy moves through you. It does, it clears. It's like a veil and fogginess. Yeah, I know you and probably the listeners have experienced that. Man, I feel foggy. Really foggy. Things are just like I can't see straight. I can't think straight. Get out and move. Get out and move. It clears you energetically. It clears you. So nutrition, same thing. You know, like it's so interesting that people put in premium gas into their cars, but they'll eat a bag of Cheetos and go, why am I not running right? You know, like back to the car analogy. But it's so true, you know. So it's important for us to have that big piece of health and wellness be part of the full life experience. And when we're our tank is full and it's full with good healthy stuff, then we show up better, right? We show up better. It literally brings us when we're when we eat well and we exercise, it brings us to the here and now. You know, when our when we're heavy breathing, right? When we're running and we're breathing heavy, we're not thinking about tomorrow. We're thinking
That's right.
about right now, right? So that it's all intended for us to get to the here and now, the present, and to be at our optimum level, both psychologically, spiritually, mentally, physically. So it's a big part. We're designed to move, right? We're designed to move.
Amen. That's what this show is all about. And that's probably what my life has been all about for the last 3 or 4 years with the cross country kids.
Right
I
on.
want to let you tell a little story. I'll tell one and I want you to tell one for the going back to the red and green, like when I was so focused on the red and then it took a one of my golf coaches and mentors to help me see the green. But I was trying to pass my playing test. I have to shoot a certain score, like mid-70s, 2 rounds in a row to get my teaching certification so I could teach golf lessons. And I had tried and failed 3 times, so I was like already kind of like Eeyore, dejected. And he said something to me about just for the next month, I want you to approach people and me and just say, hey, I've already done this thing, or live as if you've already done it. And say, wasn't that great when I did that? It's like a little bit of a mind game. It's like a little bit of like Jedi mind trick. But I did it and thought and imagined myself shaking hands with everyone saying like, yeah, this is something I've done. And just I, in my mind, had already done it. And when the day came, when my next one came, I passed it by 2 or 3 shots. I got a little close, but and just already that was a big pressure hurdle for me. But just going from, oh, I've already failed 3 times to, no, just imagine like you've already done it. You've put in all this work at the range. And so that little comment helped me to see green, so to speak. But just wondering if you had any sort of experience like that.
Yeah, and you know, Paul, in your story, when you qualified or got your certification, right? When you did it, did you feel like you had already experienced that?
Yes, I thought there was going to be this big like rush of emotion and almost like crying, but I was just like, okay, business, this is exactly how the script should have played out. And I just went on and I didn't text him or call him. I just like saw him the next day, did the handshake as I was kind of envisioning it.
Right on,
He
right on.
just gave
You
me a
know,
big hug and that was it.
that means that you did that. That means your visualization and your feeling of it was spot on. Because if you're doing it right, when you achieve whatever it is you're trying to achieve, it's almost deja vu. It's like, I've already been here. I've already done this. It all played out the way it's supposed to play. And sometimes it's anticlimactic, right? It's like, because the truth, right? Because the truth is we never fully arrive. To be honest with you, we never fully arrive. It's the whole journey, right? And if we can
That's right.
embrace the idea that we never arrive, that we're here on the journey, just learning how to be what you just did, we can do that with all, we create the life we've always wanted. Right? We can play it out in our minds, and then it just that's the projection. We play it from within and then we project it in, and that becomes our reality.
That's
Right?
right.
I mean, because you could have failed. You could have said, you could have done it, not believed in it, not felt it, and your story would be very different. And your life and your reality as it is right now would be very different. Your projection into the world started from within, and you were able to
That's right.
create your own script. That's when they talk about you're the author of your own life. That's what they're talking about. You write the story and then play it out. And that's what you did, right? And
Exactly.
if, say, you did fail, you could go back and rewrite it and say, hey, listen, and this is the thing, like you could talk the story of a big wave coming in and then it took you under and pulled you out, and that was the end of it. Or you could say there was a huge wave that came in. I threw the surfboard under my feet and I rode the thing. Very different story, right? So we decide how we're going to write the script, and then it plays out. But we have to feel it and we have to believe it. Now, there's one of my stories. Boy, I remember I had my own coach, fantastic gentleman out of Texas, Dallas, Texas. And I remember he said, Hey, so tell me about, you know, how much are you charging for the work that you do? And I'm like, I don't know, like, you know, this. And he's like, man, like, you're shortchanging yourself, dude. You're shortchanging yourself. And I'm like, I am. He goes, yeah. He helped me to believe my value, my worth. And I'm telling you, Paul, that after that conversation, I had a big opportunity that came my way. And he's like, you charge this. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. He said, do it. So I did it. And I'll tell you, it came back without a bat in the eye. And I was like, nobody you gotta cared. Be kidding me. So what happened is, like, you have to believe in your self-worth. You got to believe that you bring value, and you got to believe that you are of value, right? So
that's right.
You have in your story, you had a belief in yourself, and that's where it starts, right? That's so right. I had to really believe in my value and my worth. And when I value myself and I see the worth that what I have, other people will see it too. Now, if I shortchange myself, then what people will go is like, oh, he doesn't see himself as a valuable person. Now, I'm not just talking monetarily, but if I don't have, like, great expectations for myself, if I don't think that I can achieve great things, and that's how I operate in life, nobody else is going to believe that either. It starts with me. It starts with me. And I have to, and nobody's going to believe you until you believe yourself.
That's right.
You got to, you know, and it's not about selling yourself. People will jump on board when you accomplish it. A lot of times we want them to jump on board now. Just have faith in me. And they probably will, but they want to see it too, you know? And nobody's going to show up and rescue you. You got to do it on your own, you know? And that's the toughest part. That's tough. But on the other side of that, there's the other side. On the other side of that, it's not even an obstacle. It's a growth process. And once you do that, I mean, now with that experience, Paul, you can go back in any experience that you have, you can utilize or use that experience to kind of lay out the framework of what worked for you. And I guarantee you, it will work for everything that you put your mind to. Guarantee it.
That's so good. How much importance do you put on journaling? I was just reading my journal when I was in a rut just a couple, you know, weeks or months ago, can't remember, but I was like, you know, I think it's this. I missed just like, hey, I just moved recently a few months ago and just having my old neighborhood friends like going at the drop of a hat to their back porch and hanging out, like missing stuff like that. And I'm like, oh yeah, I need to make more time for my friends so I could look back at that and reflect and have that clarity. Like, man, my writing was so chipper, we'll just say, and I want to get back to this headspace. But how important do you think that is?
I think journaling is significant. I do more, like, I do a lot of self-talk. Like, I walk around the house and talk to myself. That's my, but I can't go back and reread it. And I have journaled in the past. Uh-huh. One of the things that people, it happens, and it's interesting how you're saying that you went back and read your journal. Yeah. I think journaling is fantastic. One, it gets everything. It gets it out of your head and on paper. And that's very, very important. That's significant, even to the point of being very therapeutic. You know, it can help you heal. But that's where people stop. They write and then they're done. I encourage people to go back and read it. Why? Because in the journaling process, what is really happening, that's your higher self putting it down on paper. That's your higher self. So where is it? It's inside. And now through the writing process, it's now being translated on a piece of paper from your mind and your heart through the spirit, down your arm, on the pen, on the paper, right? Yeah. So going back and rereading it, what it's doing is it's giving you solutions to what you're facing. Mm-hmm. It's your higher self. And it's interesting. I've done, today, by the way, is I launched my podcast today, which is really
cool. Congratulations.
Yeah. So I'm excited to be on yours, but this morning I just did mine. Prior to that, back in 2018, I did about 100 episodes. It was like a daily podcast.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And I went back and I listened. And I'll tell you, Paul, there were times where I got really emotional. And I'm like, I got emotional from what I'm saying. And I'm like, wow, this really connects with me. And I'm like, yeah, because it came from you, dude. You know, like, and so I was listening to it. I'm like, wow, this is like, there's my answers. There's my answers. And I was giving it to myself. You know, it was a lot of what we call projection. So the things I was talking about and sharing with the world were really what was going on within me. And those solutions and those answers were coming from my higher self. So when we journal, it's so important to go back and read it because it's got nuggets, it's got answers in it. And it
For
actually
sure.
answers designed specifically for you. Like I know we pick up books sometimes and we read it and like, oh, okay. And we're hoping that we hear a line or we read a paragraph that's like, ah, that articulates exactly how I'm feeling. But when we're journaling, that's as intimate as you're going to get. So there's your higher self talking to you. Go back and read it because you're going to see a part of yourself that maybe you don't see, but getting it out of you. Because our minds are pretty interesting, right? Like our dream state, right? Our dream states, whatever we think of, our mind just goes there. But when we put it on and we have a succinct way of thinking and we're just letting it all out, a great story is being written and great lessons are being shared. So journaling is such an important piece of that.
Yeah, I love how you say the higher self there. It's almost like those deeper brain waves and just the pacing of the writing. You have to like
Oh,
take
yeah.
the time and do each letter, and it's just so much more thought, I don't know, thinking based than say watching something on TV or your phone, even a book. Like the book is going, line by line, but
Yeah.
no, we're little letter by letter
Letter by
is
letter.
journaling's a special thing. So
Yeah.
I want to just ask you, since you mentioned your podcast, was there anything that I was talking about this 5 or 6 years ago in 2018, and this came to fruition because I was speaking it and thinking it?
Yeah. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. There's
So cool.
literally there's countless. I'm a believer in manifestation. I believe that whatever it is that we are thinking about, and we again we're feeling it and we're experiencing, we become aligned. We become aligned to it. Now, I don't know how deep we want to get, particularly, but this is I can give you kind of like an I believe that everything that we want and everything that we need is here right now. Everything. And it's kind of like the red and the green. And if we are not feeling, if we're feeling really, really good, really, really good, then everything around us becomes opportunities, right? If we're
That's
not
right.
feeling good and our vibe is low, then we're not looking for it. But as low as it can get, like our safety, if we're not feeling safe, no opportunities. We're just so within ourselves, constricted and just like withdrawn and. But when the vibration is high, we see the world very differently. So in 2018, I talk a lot about love. Love is like, for me, love is the most expansive experience. Love opens us up. We are vulnerable. We put ourselves like, some people look at vulnerability as being a lame duck. I feel like vulnerability opens us up to feel fully. So to close ourselves off from getting hurt, it also closes ourselves off from experiencing some of the most amazing opportunities we could ever have. So love to me, and since, I mean, it's been all my life, not just 2018, but 2018, I spent a lot of time focusing on that. Both the mindset about love, about vulnerability, about opening ourselves up to the possibilities, about how do we create our best life? You can't create your best life out of what is the opposite of love, and that is fear. You can't create your best life out of fear. It just it's impossible, right? So you have to move to a place of self-love and open yourself up and be vulnerable and trust that whatever is presented to you at that time, that with love you can work through it, right? Because it's expansive and love brings people in. So now you have assets and resources and people who want to be there to support you and encourage you and lift you up. That's what love is all about. That's what community is about. That's the work that I do. You know, it's energizing people and elevating communities. That's my world that I live in. And so 2018 and doing those every day, was just a focus on how expansive can we be? And you know, Paul, we start being expansive when we begin to love ourselves. We start becoming expansive when we love ourselves and then realize that in loving ourselves, we see people through a different lens. Now we see them, we respect them, and we encourage them on their own journey because I know that I'm on mine, right? Now there's a level of humanness, there's a level of vulnerability, but in relatability, right? So 2018 was all about love, about the mindset, about putting ourselves, I called it be great in 21-8. And I
Oh
felt like, you
yeah,
know what?
that's good.
It's not 28 and 18 anymore. But that's what it was about. It was about how do we become not greater than somebody. Being great is not being greater than somebody, but how, and it's not even like a better version. I'm not a big fan of that term, you know, a better version of yourself. The truth is we already are who we are. It's more about giving ourself permission to be who we already are, right? It's
I
not a
like
different
that.
version of ourselves. It's actually we are already that, but we can, it's, my tagline is live big, love bigger. And the live big part is not jumping out of an airplane or camping over in the Amazon. That's not living big. What living big is being who you are authentically, real, genuinely. And so what happens is we live small so that the people around us don't feel uncomfortable or uneasy. So we live small. We don't live in our bigness. Right. So living big really is living in your full potential, living in who you truly are. And you know what? People are going to fall off. They'll judge. Fine. Let them go. And that's okay. Send it with love. But it opens up opportunities for the right people to come in, to lift you up, to encourage you. Those are the right people to come in. So live big. Live your biggest life because we need the biggest ver not the biggest version of you, the biggest of who you already are. And if you need permission, I give you permission. Be your biggest self. Be who you
That's right.
already are.
Yeah. The biggest, most authentic version of yourself. I really love those metaphors there. That's good. And you were already doing that work, it sounds like, in 2018 and just sharpening your sword there. That was extremely well spoken. I just want, since you've been doing this job for a while, before we get to like your final wrap-up questions, since today's rapidly changing world, what kind of like, you know, what changes have you seen? You know, people coming to you with, you know, not always problems, maybe it's opportunities or struggle. Have you seen like a big shift of like, all right, now in the past few years, ever since COVID, it's been X, Y, or Z?
We are we what we what we're seeing here is an elevated state collectively. We're in an elevated anxious state collectively. We're in a state of fear and anxiety. That's what we're seeing. And there's a shift in that, and particularly in the schools, and you would see this. It's like if you were to do an activity with me for 1 sec, do a little exercise.
Sure.
Could you do an okay sign like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, squeeze, squeeze. Now put it right on your chin. Put it right on your
On my
chin.
chin.
There you go. Now, where were
Oh,
you
that
gonna
was
go
close.
first?
It started trending towards my
Right.
cheek because people who are not watching the video, he put his okay sign in his cheek and I just followed suit and I was like, uh-oh, he said chin, so I had to
Yes,
think about that.
but you shifted, thank goodness. But the reason that exercise is so powerful is because we don't recognize that what we say and what we do has a great impact. Like the gap between what we're saying and what we're doing, right? So what I see, particularly in school districts, is we have a lot of adults that are coming in that they have a lot of fear. Again, elevated state, fear and anxiety. And in the classroom, what they're thinking they're doing with the best intention is like, I'm going to try to stay calm. I'm going to try to stay at peaceful. But when you come in that elevated state and you talk a lot about, you know, everything's okay. And it's like, why are you bringing that up, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so? You know, why you keep bringing, like, kids are so perceptive, right?
Yes.
We are all pretty darn perceptive. And so we're all trying. What I'm recognizing is that there's a residual effect of the pandemic. There's residual, you know, like we want to move on. My goodness, do we not want to move on?
Oh, yeah.
But in that time, Paul, in that time, there was a great deal of introspection, self-reflection, right? There was the great resignation that happened.
Yes.
People were like, I want to find meaning and purpose in my life. I want to do something that satisfies me. I want to get excited about my life again. People left relationships to start new relationships or to be on their own. I know people in the pandemic that played the guitar, wrote a book, right? And then I know people in the pandemic who were paralyzed by fear. And so it had a traumatic impact on how we saw ourselves and our position in the world and how we saw the world. So, and we still have a little bit of residual. And I will tell you this, there's a great awakening happening. People are paying attention to things they've never paid attention to before. You know, God forbid anything tragic happened to you or family member during the pandemic. But the pandemic also had an opportunity, and it kind of forced this to happen for us to sit and reflect, to actually spend time with family that you may have only spent an hour, half an hour a day with. But now you're spending 24/7, like, wow, who am I? And what kind of impact am I making in my everyday life? So I am seeing the residual impact of that, both with individuals, in businesses, in school district, with young people, with more mature people. There is a shift. And I'm excited about the shift. I'm very excited about the shift because people are now open to having discussions about things that were not very well received. And one of those things, Paul, is love. It's love. So I'm talking about love in businesses. I'm talking about love in school districts. I'm talking about love in my coaching sessions. And not just love as the romantic, as you called it, the, you know, bath bombs. Which kills me. I love it. but agape love, like neighborly love, brotherly love, connection. And so this is what we're taught. We are able to elevate communities. Together. That's what the idea of when the tide rises, all ships rise with it, because the tide has to rise within us first, right? The tide within us. So loving ourselves, finding how do we love ourselves? What does it look like? What does it look like? I go to these conferences all the time. There's always a breakout session about self-care and self-love. And it's like, you know, take a bath, count to 10, you know, those kinds of things, right? Walk in nature, you know, but you know what? The trail ends. The water gets cold in the bathtub, right? So at some point, you get out, you've got pruned hands and you're cold, but life is still here. So wherever you go, there you are. So how do we find peace within ourselves wherever we go, right? How do we find that? How do we find love? And when we find love within ourselves, wherever we go, that's what we bring, right? So I help people kind of recognize what love looks like, what it feels like, to redefine it, to not see it as, you know, a Hallmark special or puppy dogs and gumdrops, but more as a, if I was to ask you, love moves what?
Gosh, mountains, everything.
Mountains, everybody knows that, right? Yeah. So we know that love has the power, it's a transformative power that can do tremendous things. And so we have to redefine that. So coming out of the pandemic, we're seeing a high level of fear and anxiety collectively, right? Mm-hmm. In all areas and all ages. And I believe the remedy to fear is its opposite, and that's love. And so people are very open today about receiving that understanding, that message about love. And I have quadrupled down on it. And everything that you've talked about, A lot of the people that come onto your show talk about love. And in fact, they may not even know they're talking about it, but it truly is the ultimate goal of the human experience, to love and be loved, to feel significant, first of all, that what we have to offer matters, one, and that we are also open and worthy enough to receiving love from the world. And that,
beautiful.
And that is the human experience.
Amazing. Wow. So eloquently put. I see now why the podcast is re-airing today after the little hiatus, but sounds like the book is coming soon, hopefully.
Yes.
I loved all that. Oh, good. Very good. So so many things that I could say on that love subject. I really enjoyed hearing that, but yeah, just rewind the last 5 minutes and I'm going to be replaying that little bit over and over again. Excellent.
Right
Thank
on,
you.
Right
now,
on.
I have a few like little wrap-up questions for you. So let's see, where do I want to start? So books and podcasts, we were just talking about podcasts. Mm-hmm. Is there any, you know, anything that's shifted your life significantly that you remember, or, you know, we talked about The Alchemist, any book or podcast or, you know, any suggestion like that for people, if they're just kind of getting started. They don't know where to start.
Well, The Alchemist is one of my favorite books. Number one on my list, I believe, is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
Yeah.
A powerful book. He wrote, it's the last of the human, experience to accept anything that happens to you with the right attitude, to choose one's own way. And that's, I mean, here's a man who was in the concentration camp experiencing what he did. And the reason why he survived, and he will tell you in this book, it's logotherapy is really essentially what came from that, the idea of placing meaning on suffering. And so, you know, anything that we're going through, we can place meaning. We, like, some people will say, well, there's a reason for everything, or, well, you know, well, there is a reason for everything because we place it on it. We place meaning on it. We decide that, you know, again, that wave, is that wave like dangerous, or is that wave an opportunity to find some incredible joy and another dopamine release, right? So, right. So how we determine, so Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning has had a tremendous impact on me. He talks about if you have a why, you can manage almost any how. You know, getting really down to the purpose and the meaning of our everyday life, the how will take care of itself. And as a track person, you know this, a hurdler doesn't look at the hurdles, right?
No.
It's all rhythm. 1, 2, 3, jump, 1, 2, 3, jump, whatever their rhythm is. And where's their focus? Their focus is ahead getting always through the finish line, right? We don't focus on the obstacles. Could be, oh, there's another one, and there's another one, and there's another one, right? So life is about recognizing that there are obstacles, because if we ignore them, we'd run into them and probably fall. But we know that they're there. But there is a rhythm to life, and I call responsibility our ability to respond to whatever life offers us at any given moment, right? Mm-hmm. That's what responsibility is. So we increase our responsibility by first acknowledging that there is obstacles in our way, but we are capable. This is where loving ourselves is so important, that we believe that we can, because whether we believe we can or can't, we're right, that we can get through those obstacles. We don't have to focus on them, get them all those energy, because again, wherever our head goes, energy flows. If we're focused on the obstacles, all we see is obstacles. But if we focus on the finish line and seeing what we're trying to accomplish, that's that focus. Now that becomes more exciting, and we're moving towards it instead of the fear of trying to get past these obstacles, these barriers in our life. So I'm a big fan of Viktor Frankl. Man's Search for Meaning has made a great impact on my life.
Profound. I just read that. Maybe it was during COVID, you know, that a lot of bad things came out of COVID, like you mentioned, but that kind of big pause button, that's where I got a lot of reading done. And that one had a big impact on me. And
fascinating.
Yeah,
fascinating.
Unreal. Yeah, that's good. I asked this question a couple times this second season, but if you had to give your life, let's say it was a book, and what would you call the chapter that you're in now? And what would you call the next chapter? What are you looking forward to in the next couple, three or four years?
Paul did not give, you did not give me a heads up on this.
Oh no, this one is a complete, curveball. Take your time.
So what chapter am I in right now?
Yeah, what would you call it?
Well, the name of my podcast is A New Day, A New Way, right?
Okay.
So I believe that the chapter would be just that. It's a new day and there's a new way. And the new day is it's any part of our day. It doesn't have to be a day, but in any moment in our life, we can pivot, we can shift, we can change, we can clean the slate. And so that's the whole idea of the new day, new way concept is there's a new day and then you're shifting, you're adopting a new way. And I think the chapter I'm in right now, I'm having this conversation with you and sharing it with the audience right now, everything that I have, I want to share it as much and as often. And the bigger the crowd, the more excited I get. This is a message that just fills me up. And, you know, just like going out for a walk in nature, going for the run, the emotion, the energy in motion, it's so important for me to share this. So I have a wonderful, and Paul, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, for deciding to, you know, I'll take this guy and listen to him. This matters to me because I hope that what I'm sharing resonates with people. So I think today is a new day, Paul, and there is a new way. And whatever it is, what I share is a way. It's not the way, it's a way. And whatever people could take from what I share, these are just experiences that I'm compelled to just to let loose on. And love is the answer.
That's right. And you speak with such a high vibration. I know we spoke about that. And you really live it. I really appreciate, you giving your time here with the listeners today. And I want to let you have some final plugging words or, where can people find you? I'm sure many will be inspired just hearing you talk on the podcast, but where can they find you or maybe even hire you as their coach?
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you could go to you can email me directly by begreat@tomjbull.com. Email me direct. I love having relationships with people. People are my thing. I love people. So feel free to reach out with any comments and share. I love stories. But if you're looking for life coaching, if you're looking to connect, if you're looking to get into that windshield, right? And to the here and now and move forward and unveil who you truly are, right? To live your life in an authentic way, to find your passion and purpose that's already there. And here's the truth. We're not searching for anything. It's already here. It's already found you, right? There's no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. So if you're looking for a path, a way, if you're looking for some guidance, as a coach, one of the things I think what's unique is what you're getting from me today is very much what the coaching experience is like. And so I do challenge beliefs, I challenge values, I challenge the way that things are, to look at things differently, to change the mindset. Some people call me the mindset coach, some people call me the love coach, but not in the intimate romantic way, although I do coach couples if there's couples out there too. So you can reach me at just direct email, begreat@tomjbull.com. I'm on social media, Tom J Bull on Facebook, Instagram. I've been my agent who you've been connected with, he's pushing me to do TikTok. So I did a couple TikTok
Oh,
episodes.
wow.
Yeah,
Look
so
at that.
I'm out there, LinkedIn, you can reach me. And of course, tomjbull.com. There's a connect with me in that way as well.
Fantastic. Is there any last piece of advice that you got maybe in your youth from a coach that was always stuck with you? A few words that you'd like to leave us with as your last
Well,
question of the podcast.
as always, I want to leave you with this is one, be blessed. Be blessed. Now, this is not any religious sense and maybe not even spiritual. To be blessed is to recognize that everything that you need is around you, is around you. You're blessed already, whether you know it or not, right? And so the green and the red exercise that we talked about, the green exists even though you're not paying attention to it. So if you're focused on the negativity in your life and you don't see the green, it doesn't mean that the green doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that the blessings, the people around you, the doors that are open, the opportunities that you're looking for, if you're not paying attention and open yourself up to it, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's there for you. And here's the other thing. Being blessed is also recognizing that those green things that are around you are designed for you. So be blessed. Be great is the courage to take what's rightfully yours. Be great is taking those green things in your life. Some people feel like, well, Tom, if I take the green things, it's going to make it so that someone else can't have it who might need it more than me. Oh, my friends, those green things have your name on it. Those doors, those opportunities are in the shape of you. So nobody else can take them, and nobody else can walk through those doors but you. So you're not taking from someone else. You're taking something that was here, brought here for you. So being great is taking what's rightfully yours. It has your name on it, and you are worthy enough to have it. So be blessed to be great and live bigger, as I shared earlier, right? Don't live your small life to make people feel comfortable. Live your biggest life. People will fall away, but my goodness, they'll come back. I promise you, they'll come back. And the right people will show up. And even more important, Paul, is to love even bigger, to love even bigger, to open yourself up, to love and accept love. So be blessed, be great, live big, and love even bigger. And that's my message to you and to the world and to your listeners. Thank you so much for having me, Paul. I appreciate it.
Man, full stop, exclamation point. That was so good. I appreciate you, sir. Thank you for taking the time. This was an amazing talk. And yeah, go elevate yourself, elevate the community on with it, raise that tide like we spoke about. Wow. Tom, thank you. I'm in your corner. I support you anytime. If I can ever help you with a podcast episode, I would be honored. But good luck with your venture here, and hope we can chat again. This was it. Really, the red green that really inspired me. So I'm ready to go get up and run around right now.
All right, brother. Hey, blessings to you, man. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.